Welcome to the John Gambling Show
with special co-host Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
We need to end the gridlock and to stop passing the buck to future generations.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show.
We, the individual voters, have to do something different. We have to hold those we elected accountable.
Now, with New York's only local news talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Bill Rock, you're exactly right. Here we go again on a Friday with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Look forward to it at the start of each week to our Friday. And Mr. Mayor, welcome aboard and good morning.
John, thank you. A little bit chilly, but it's going to get warm this weekend.
Well, that's what they say. Are you? I know you're parading on Tuesday. Are you parading over the weekend?
Sunday, there are two parades, an Indian parade and also another of the St. Patrick's Day month parade.
the entire month of March and even like I guess part of February should be turned green, right?
Absolutely. They're all fun, and, you know, people get out. We were lucky last weekend, both Saturday in the Rockaways and Sunday on Staten Island. It was really warm.
Let me remind everybody, Mr. Mayor, that before we finish up the program, we will be taking your phone calls. If you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg, the number is 800-321-0710. Always a rush on that. You might want to get in line early, 800-321-0710. MTA. Meeting today about their doomsday budget. If nothing happens in Albany, I know it's Albany's deal, but if no deal comes, no rescue for the MTA comes, how do you see this affecting the city?
Not good. What will happen next week, there is a board meeting, and I assume the board will vote to raise fares 23% and cut some services, not because we want to, but just because there's no other money, and we have to pay our employees and pay for electricity and all of the other things that go into the MTA's budget. This is not a surprise. This has been building for a very long time. The MTA has no money for capital investments, and if they can't make investments, they'll never reduce the costs or improve the service. They've got to use more technology and less labor. They've got to expand the routes so that we cover all of the metropolitan area, which is really the responsibility of the MTA to provide mass transit to those people. We've got to make it safer and more attractive so that we can get more people to ride mass transit and less people to drive and pollute our air, all of which we've known for a long time. The city came up with an idea on how to solve the problem to generate money. The federal government was willing to put in some. Albany thought they had a better idea and chose not to enact what we had proposed, and that's fine. The governor deserves some credit. He asked Dick Ravitch to come in pro bono and do a study of what the MTA really needs. Dick is independent. He used to run the MTA many years ago, but he's well-respected. Everybody thinks this guy is smart and scrupulously honest. He came up with a proposal. The assembly, led by Shelley Silver, took his proposal. They changed some things, but fundamentally, in all fairness, Shelley and his group said, okay, we understand there's a problem and there's no easy solution, but here is a solution that we can vote for, which would have not been exactly what Ravitch had suggested or what we had suggested, but was a solution, and that's fine. And then it went to the Senate, and the state Senate has been unable to agree on coming up with a plan. The MTA is going to have a meeting today to try to lay out for everybody what's going to happen. But in the end, it's the state Senate that says they've come up with a number of things that just don't really work, aren't very practical. And at this point, what we've got to do is all pull together. Democrats last time with the old congestion pricing thing, none of them were in favor of it, or virtually none, maybe one or two. The Republicans were willing to do it. This time the Democrats said, no, we're not going to talk to Republicans. We're going to do it ourselves. Okay, but they've got 32 votes. They've got a majority. Now they've got to pull together and come up with a plan that works, that is acceptable to the assembly and acceptable to the governor and acceptable to the city and the MTA board, and if they can do that, we'll solve our problem. If not, it's going to be very sad. We will reduce services and raise costs at a time that's not good for the public or the city.
a non-vote here, a non-vote for the plan that, as you just described it, really, I think, is as Shelley Silver said, unacceptable here, because we have the problem, and to do nothing only exacerbates the problem, as Dick Ravitch points out this morning in one of the newspaper stories, that, hey, you don't do anything with it now, you got twice this problem next year.
Absolutely. It gets worse and worse and worse. If you're going to make investments that will, down the road, reduce costs, the later you do it, the less the savings. And I don't know what the economy is going to be like next year any more than anybody else does, but certainly the state and the city budgets for next year look like they'll be a lot worse than this year. We're going to have bigger problems. And so now's the time to address it. Unfortunately, this always is the way. Nobody wants to make difficult decisions. And if you think about it, this year is not an election year for the Albany legislature. Now, I would never accuse them of ducking tough things in an election year, but let's assume that you did think that they would do that. If you did think that, next year is an election year for them. So if they can't pull together this year, likelihood of them pulling together next year is not good. And that means that next year we'll probably have to come back and raise taxes, raise fares even more. The problem is that we have a workforce that has to get paid. And if you want to have a workforce that's flexible and hardworking, they can't sit there all day long and say, I don't know if I can feed my family. Paying your municipal workforce, if you want good services, is just something you have to do. And everybody's afraid to say that. I don't know why. I've always thought we should have a well-paid workforce. Now, we can't give them everything they want. They'll never, you know, obviously.
None of us do.
That's absolutely right. The city workforce is, some people won't agree with this, but they are well paid, and I would argue they work very hard and do a very good job. Unfortunately, we can't afford to continue in the city doing what we've been doing, and that's why we really desperately need to reduce our pension costs, which we can't do for existing workers, but we could do with any new people we hire. That's what's called another tier five. When the city got in trouble before, the pension system was changed, so there became a second tier where the benefits were different, a third tier where the benefits were different again, fourth tier benefits were different again, and now we need to have a fifth tier, and we're going to work with labor, and we're going to have to do this, because if not, we just can't afford the size of the workforce. But I will stand there against and argue with anybody. The people that work for this city, all 300,000 of them, really do a great job. And I tell you what, I woke up this morning, I was thinking about it. Yesterday, another tragedy occurred. A guy that worked for
sanitation department,
you know, killed in an accident. I talked to his wife and granddaughter yesterday. What do you say? You know, people in the city work hard, and they want to get paid. They want something for their tax dollars, but they want good services. And we have a workforce that we've worked on for decades of building, and that's exactly what they provide. And, we just have to find a ways to pay them. And the same thing is true if you want the MTA to work. You've got to pay them fairly. The trouble is if we don't have any money, we can't. And now they've taken, dispute about how much to get paid to arbitration. And I'm not part of that arbitration.
Yeah, the TWU and the MTA.
Right, but the MTA doesn't have any money. I don't know how the arbitrator can give them monies that we don't have. If we raise fares 23% and cut some services, we don't have any extra money. That's just to get us through the existing expenses.
Yeah, you're going
to
hobble forward. Now, you know all the players here. How are you handicapping the outcome?
I am always optimistic. I mean, I think in the end, John, you know, most times things pull together. I think Malcolm Smith, the head of the Democratic leadership in the Senate, who has the majority at the moment, he understands. So he's got to get his members to understand. Shelley Silver certainly understands and has done what we've asked him to do. He's come up with a plan. Ravitz and the governor, they're there. I'll do anything I can to support, although, you know, this is really the state's plan. The city gave them a suggestion, but it's up to the state. That's where the law is. They have to put in fees or taxes, and the city can't do that.
All right, Mr. Mayor, hang on. Let me take our first break, and we will come right back. Mayor Michael Bloomberg here on the John Gambling Show at News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Again,
Gambling and Mayor Mike, News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
23 minutes after 8 o'clock, Mayor Michael Bloomberg with me this morning on a Friday get-together here I'm sure you saw the story here, and maybe you can add a little color to this. Crane safety down here at the World Trade Center, they shut down a crane operation for lifting stuff over the street.
If you remember, we had two terrible fatal crane accidents. We changed a lot of things in and people in the buildings department. I think we have it under control and that we're doing all the right inspections and all the procedures are being followed. We did come to an agreement with the Port Authority, who really controls that site, World Trade Center site, that our rules on crane safety would be enforced by the buildings department, and this is just an example. They broke the rules. They have to stop using the crane, stop construction until we put into place the right kind of training and procedures to make sure they don't do it again. Protecting the public's number one.
Yeah, we were all over it. Joe Bartlett had a picture of the crane as it was hanging over the street with the cars and pedestrians. I mean, it was just wild. And I said, well, what surprises me is, having talked with you and others about this site, including Deutsche Bank, the safety and the oversight that is going on here, I can't imagine anybody would make a bad choice like this.
Sometimes, John, when you have too many levels of checks and balances, you wind up with a system that's less safe or less reliable. Certainly in computer systems, people say, oh, there's a failure, put another level of backup in. Pretty soon you get a system so complex nobody can understand it, and it fails more than if you didn't have any checks and balances. In this case, we need to have clear lines of accountability and responsibility. And any difference in the school system or the federal government or anything else in your family and your business and your school and your hospital, clear lines of accountability, reduce the chances of mistakes and accidents and letting things slip through the cracks. And downtown, there is so many different levels of government and private sector involvement in the World Trade Center site. That's why it's taken so long to build things. There's the state and the city. There's the New Jersey has a say because of the Port Authority. There's the Port Authority and the MTA. There's the federal government. They supervise all of the environmental steps we're taking with the Deutsche Bank building. There's every city and state agency, the LMDC, which I've thought we should, you know, just eliminate just one step. We don't need it anymore. They've done good work, but there's a time to change. And if you don't eliminate some of these steps, you're always going to have problems. But at least when it comes to crane safety, Bob Lamandri, who runs our buildings department, is doing a superb job. He's very focused. He's very serious. He understands safety's number one. And I can't tell you we're not going to have mistakes down the road and tragedies and accidents. Construction is a dangerous thing. But having said that, we can reduce the chances. And I think you see an example of the Port Authority working with the city, and the Port Authority deserves a lot of credit here too, with the city to make sure that we have the highest standards of safety that is practicable.
Are you concerned that the financial environment of the city is going to slow even more so what's going on at World Trade Center and the dates that have been promised for
Some things are going to go ahead and be on schedule. The memorial, for example, will be on schedule. Larry Silverstein's building three more towers. That's probably somewhat influenced by the economy, because if he can't find tenants or can't get a mortgage, although I think he does have the money, he said he does, so he probably does, that in fact may go ahead. But things like the Freedom Tower, the memorial, bringing down the Deutsche Bank building, the Port Authority terminal, the Calatrava terminal, those things aren't really as affected. In the long term, sure, we can afford less in our capital budgets at the state and city level and the authority level, but they should continue. Their problems are that it's just so complex, and one thing depends on another. So if one supplier is a tiny bit late with one little material, you know, it's like, remember, the kingdom was lost because of a nail in a horse's shoe, a horse's foot. But these things cascade through. Nevertheless, and I've said this from day one, they are doing a very good job in a very complex world. And most importantly, a first priority should be safety. That's why we started this, talking about crane safety. It's nice, and everybody yells, I want it done quickly. I want it done right. I want it done cost-effectively, but I want it done quickly. Well, my concern first, before you even get to those things, I want it done safely.
I see that the city council is suggesting that the state give up some of their oversight when it comes to rent regulations and the like. You and I have talked about the fact that the state regulates, for example, red light cameras. They are, of course, the oversight for the MTA. Is now a time to start to look at the state sort of giving back, if you will, to the city?
Well, it's very controversial. There are people on both sides of the issue. The trouble with all of these things, whether it's our rent guidelines board, which is those people that serve on it deserve a medal because they get yelled at from both sides. And I've always thought if both sides are yelling equally, then they probably have it right down the middle. There's no easy answer, and you've got to be very careful in setting policy based on the populist, how many people are on the steps of City Hall protesting. We want to make this city affordable. We also want to make it profitable for landlords because we need people to build. Our whole affordable housing plan depends on private money coming in and being willing to build. So it's very controversial, and you're going to see this play out over a period of time. The basic problem at the moment is that Albany has got other problems, and they're having troubles pulling themselves together. And so we'll have to see what happens there.
All right, Mr. Mayor, it's 8:30. Why don't you hang on again, put your feet up for just a second, and we'll get right back to you. And, of course, again, let me remind, 800-321-0710, if you have a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Before we finish up. 22 now before 9 o'clock. Back to Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the Friday get-together here on the John Gambling Show. Mr. Mayor, let's see here. Did you pay attention, I'm sure you did, to President Obama's education initiatives that he talked about earlier this week? They were very much right up your line.
I did, and I thought it was a great speech, needed, and people should pay attention. The good news is he fundamentally outlined what we've done here in New York City.
I know Joel Klein has been actually talking with the Obama people even when they were campaigning.
New York City is the poster child to how to improve a big city school system. Across this country and around the world, people understand that. It's only in New York where we seem to, you know, want to whip ourselves. But I'll give you the numbers that tell you, John, the people that really know what's going on in the school system are the teachers. And when before our administration, we had 12,000 teachers quit or retire every year on a base of 80,000. Now that's down to 5,000 teachers that quit or retire every year on a base of 80,000. Back then in 2002, we couldn't hire enough certified teachers to fill the 12,000 vacancies. And today we have between 50 and 60,000 applicants each year from around the country from teachers who want to teach in our school system. New York is doing the right thing. We are improving our school system. Teachers care about kids, and they want to be part of something that's great. And also, it doesn't hurt that because crime is down and the city is doing reasonably well, people from around the country want to come and live here. And the young kids, fascinatingly enough, their parents don't object them to coming here. They used to say, oh, no, I don't want you to go to New York. It's not safe. Today, generally around the country and the world, people believe New York is one of the safest cities, which the FBI statistics do show to be true. And so the parents say, you know, don't worry about going to New York, no matter where you're assigned as a teacher.
Yeah, that was certainly wasn't always the case. How do you feel about the movement under George Bush? We saw No Child Left Behind. President Obama laid out where he thinks we should go. What do you think about federalizing or centralizing education? It's basically been a state mandate, but we're seeing the federal government get back into
it. It's always been a state thing, and I, you know, the state's rights is, you can have a long argument. I think that there's a lot to be said for local, whether it's state or city, and I would even take it down in some cases to the city, ability to determine what's in interest of their students. But having said that, we do live in a competitive global world, and everybody, you have an interest in the kids' education in other parts of the country because those kids are going to become the voters that are going to vote the leadership that's going to determine you and your family's future. So we're all in this together. It's also true, and some people don't quite understand it, but your company, no matter how small it is, your store, your radio station, your school, your hospital, they are influenced by what goes on in all the other states in the country and, in fact, all the other countries in the world. So to say we should have different standards every place, you can have different standards, but they have to be high enough so that the basics are there. And unfortunately, Bush really did. It was one of the things I did agree with him on. He tried to focus on education. He did a lot for public education, along with Congress. Not perfect, not everything I would have wanted or the right ways, the ways I would have done it, but he did focus on public education. And what the game and the scamming that was done was a lot of states reduced their standards so their graduation rates or promotion rates would be higher and they could qualify for federal money. In a world where we should be raising our standards. Yesterday I was at a charter school, Harlem Success Academy, where they keep raising their standards. And I pointed out to the kids who all seemed to understand it. We had a long discussion, and they did understand that their future is tied to how good an education they get. And you know, when you're in high school, you're old enough to have some feel for you're responsible as well. Maybe elementary school kids are too young, but high school kids, they're not mature enough to take it all on their own shoulders, but they certainly have the ability to influence whether they're going to have a great life.
Yeah, one of the things that concerns me is that, you know, this thought of college for everyone. I think that there's a real danger of, you know, grade deflation.
Well,
or grade inflation, depending on your point of view.
What we've tried to do in New York City is say, look, we want to make sure that everybody that wants to go to college can. In fact, we give the PSATs free to all 10th and 11th graders so that the kids can see whether or not they have the ability. And a lot of them never thought about college before, and they take these tests and they say, hey, you know, I can do college work. And they come from families where they're not they would be the first ones in their family to go to college. Our chancellor, Joel Klein, was the first one in his family to go to college. And he did okay. And, you know, it goes to show that the great American dream really is available, and what we've got to do is make sure that all the kids understand that they could. Having said all of that, college isn't for everybody. There are some kids who want to go straight into the military. There's some kids that want to go straight into the workforce. And so we're trying to have schools that have a theme of and teaching technical skills so that they can get jobs right away. You know, there's no one size that fits all in education. And in the past, when we've had these schools that trained you to have the skills you needed to get a job right away, some people said, oh, you're condemning my kid to not going to college. You don't think my kid is good enough to go to college. No, it's that college isn't the right thing for everybody. And we want to give parents and kids choice. And that's what this is all about. They should be able to make their own decisions, but they can only make an intelligent decision among the things that are available. So it's our responsibility to give lots of different opportunities to kids and their parents. That's what charter schools are there for. That's what all of our theme schools are there for. That's what the gifted and talented programs, which we now have in all five boroughs, are there for. That's why these technical schools are there, to give people the opportunity to make good decisions, but to make those decisions among lots of different things that work.
We have seen the president sign the stimulus package. Have you gotten the check yet for shovel-ready projects?
You know, I'd love to tell you it is. They have a pot of money. You walk over, take your wheelbarrow and shovel and fill it up.
You didn't get the check yet,
did you? A little more complex than that. No, we're working, and a lot of that stuff comes through the state, and we're working with the state.
All right, but do you have projects identified?
Oh, sure. New York City has a $10.4 billion construction or infrastructure budget, capital budget, this year. We're doing these things. We're starting new ones all the time, and we certainly, a lot of them, we think will qualify for federal funds. But we've not, in New York, waited for federal funds to do this. You know, our bridges, for example, are in great shape. We need to do some continue to do some work. We've been replacing all of the spans on the Harlem River. The Brooklyn Bridge is one of these projects where it could use some work. But we've been doing it. There'll always be more, and we hope to get federal monies to do it. Other places haven't been willing to reach into their own pockets and make those kinds of investments, and they have a lot worse problems than we do. And I've heard from some New Yorkers saying, I don't have a lot of sympathy. You know, they're trying to take our businesses and our people, saying we're highly taxed. But the truth of the matter is those taxes go to support a debt that is used to improve the infrastructure of our city. So we've been sort of ahead of the curve, and hopefully won't get penalized for being.
One of the things that I know you agree is it was a super resource. We don't quite know what to do with it. I'm talking about Governor's Island. You would like to turn it into an educational center. I understand that it's almost out of bucks. What's going on?
Well, there's two projects that we're concerned with. We have an agreement with the state to share management and expenses, and that's the Brooklyn Bridge Park and the Governor's Island, which is really a big park. And then there's the Javits Center. Javits Center, if you remember, that was where the Jets were willing to pay for a new Javits Center. They just wanted to use it 13 Sundays a year. The state didn't go along with it. I think it's one of the great tragedies. But nevertheless, we have to do something with the Javits Center, and we have to do something with Governor's Island. We have to do something with Brooklyn Bridge Park. And the state has its financial problems, which in some senses are more complex than the city's. State's got its management problems. They've got a lot of things to worry about. What we've said to the governor is we, the city, will take over financial responsibility for Brooklyn Bridge Park and Governor's Island, where we've put up our money. The state is supposed to put up their half and haven't come up with it, and they say they don't have it. Okay, we'll do the whole thing, but only if we're responsible and have the authority to go ahead and run the project. We're just not going to put our money into something where it's fundamentally there's so many cooks, you're really spoiling the broth. And we've said to the governor, let us do that. And we'll manage it. We'll pay for it. We aren't going to walk away from Javits, but we've got money over there, which nobody's going to use for a long time. That'll give us, even these tough times, the money to really change the whole landscape for downtown Brooklyn and Manhattan and even New Jersey will be able to come over and use it. These would be two phenomenal facilities to improve the financial health and the pleasure of living in New York City. But we want it. And if the state doesn't want to do that, then they can take over responsibility for finances as well as for management. Somebody in the state suggested we pay all the bills and they would still run it. And I said, I don't think that's going to fly. Right.
Gotcha. All right. I'm sorry. You were going to say something?
No, I just, unfortunately, if we can't come to an agreement, this, maybe it's today. Governor's Island, if not today, it's next week, I forget the date, they're going to vote to, we're just going to close it because we don't have the money. You got to pay the bills.
You got to pay the bills. Ain't it the truth? And I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to take another break. Mr. Mayor, we've got some questions from people that they would like to ask you. We will get to that next. This portion of the program brought to you by Mayor Mike and John Gambling at 6 before 9 o'clock, and a whole bunch of folks with some questions, Mr. Mayor. Let's start with Joan out in Long Island. Joan, you've got the mayor. Go. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. Good morning, John. I just want to pose a question with regard to the UN. I mean, I travel into the city quite often to visit my niece who lives in Manhattan, and I see, and I thought I heard about the diplomatic immunity, and what about when they get fines, and where does the UN stand in the financial sector of New York City?
I'm happy to say it used to be a very big problem, although it's controversial problems. In all fairness, the numbers are relatively small, but a serious problem because everybody should obey the laws, and it's fixed, and I must admit, because I have a little bit of a conflict here, my sister works for the city pro bono, working with the diplomatic community, and she and Colin Powell, who was Secretary of State back then, came up with an agreement, and they forced the issue. Now there are almost no, I'm sure there's some, but there's almost no scoff laws among the diplomatic community when it comes to parking tickets. We take away the license plates of consular cars if they are breaking the law, and when it comes to the ambassador level, we can't do that, but we don't have to renew it. So at the end of the year, when they need a renewal on plates, we don't renew it. So, and what's happened is, number one, they've all stopped parking in front of fire hydrants and all of that. If you look, a lot of consulars, and there's numbers on those signs, only they can, the consular that it's right in front of can park there. But they're now virtually all obeying the law, and a number of them have paid back parking tickets. Now, not all, and when you take a look at the parking tickets, some of them are so old, if they go to court on them, the court would just throw them out. They got 20 tickets in 5 minutes, and, it was just one agent just writing a whole bunch of tickets, or there's no proof, or whatever, or they're so old, maybe it's a statute of limitations. But the bottom line is, a number of countries paid up, and almost all of them now obey the law. We're having a different battle where they own property that they're not using for government purposes, and if they're not using it for government purposes, then they have to pay our city property taxes, and we've gone after a number of them, and a number of countries have started to pay up there, too.
Good for you. Okay, Joni, thanks a lot. Let us now go to Michael out in East Hills. Michael, good morning. What's your question for the mayor?
Good morning, John. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
I think that raising transit fares at this time is the socially irresponsible thing to do, and that it might have the unintended consequence of having less usage, which puts us back in the same problem. I think that there also must be some sort of bell curve where if you lower fares, you'll get more usage and get more income.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. Unfortunately, we can't do it. But if you were going to design a perfect world, you'd have mass transit basically be almost free, and you would make it more expensive to clog the roads with your own car. That's the kind of concept behind congestion pricing, although not taking it to that extreme. Unfortunately, we are so far down the road, you can't put the genie back in the hat. Today, the strap hanger has to pay something, and it does dissuade people from using the service. You're exactly right. But we're behind the curve, so if we don't have the money, we can't keep the system going and make it better. And the state and the city just don't have the money to go and support it. Somebody's got to pay, and it's the public that's going to pay. And you either pay when you use it or you pay whether you use it or not. The whether you use it or not is taxes. The when you pay is fares. We've always had some kind of a compromise between the two. We charge fares, and these taxpayers at the state and city level also subsidize. Now the state and city level doesn't have any more money. Taxes are not good. They hurt everybody. But we have to pay. You have to come up with the money someplace. So the concept you have is the right one. Unfortunately, I think the answer is we're so far down the road you couldn't get back to it.
Let's go to line number six. This is Jack in Manhattan. Jack, real fast, what's your question for the mayor?
Mr. Mayor, I love all you've done with the bike lanes because I ride to work every day, and I was just wondering if it could be tweaked and actually paint them yellow so the cars and pedestrians realize it's for bikes and they should be more cautious before they
will. I don't know whether, there's lots of studies I'm sure done where the yellow stands out more. I will mention it to our commissioner for the Department of Transportation, Jeanette Fedek Khan.
Mr. Mayor, question for you relating to the one that was just asked about mass transit. This new tunnel that's going to be built, they're going to start it shortly, $8.7 billion, 8 years in process.
Which tunnel are you talking about?
The one from New Jersey underneath the Hudson.
Because we're doing a new tunnel and number 7 line extension.
Correct.
And starting to bore it.
But the New Jersey, will this exacerbate the problem? I know it would be the path that will be in charge of it, but does the good intended consequence of putting more trains in there to move more people, does it exacerbate the cost issue?
Well, we want to have more people come into the city. That's our economy. We want them to come in and shop and go to school and get medical care and work here and create businesses. So good mass transit to the suburbs is in the city's interest. You have to find a ways to pay for it, obviously, and that's, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on which side of the argument you're on, fares don't cover it. So any new tunnel is going to require monies from the public. In terms of debt service, they have to pay through taxes, or fares they have to pay when they use it.
All right, Annette in Brooklyn. Very quickly, Annette, what's your question for the mayor?
Oh, good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Mr. Mayor and John Gambling.
What's your question, Annette?
My question is, how could someone who is retiring from the city get more than his income?
Okay, Annette, we've only got 30 seconds.
The only ways I can think of it, Annette, for example, with the fire department, if you stay on after 20 years, there's an extra bonus that gets added to your pension, and you can use your pension plan as your own 401k. You can put money into the pension plan, and the pension fund will run the money for you. Lately, that hasn't been worked out very well, but over a long period of time, it may very well. So in theory, I suppose, you could have a pension that gives you more than what you have earned, but generally you get 50% for most of the city agencies, 75% of its disability.
Your time is up, Mr. Mayor. I apologize for the interruption.
Not
I
fine.
Hate to do that to the
I
mayor
know that,
of New
John.
York. But next Friday, we'll give you some more time. I'll
look
forward
to it.
Have a great week. That's going to do it. 9 o'clock.